Heretic here from 2311 Racing. Game night's fun until someone spends 5 minutes lining up one shot. Chalk, breathe, re-chalk, still aiming. While they figure it out, I fire up Chumba Casino. I can spin anywhere, anytime, and there's always a new social casino game every week. Spins happen way faster than that shot. Play now at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
It's time for the Del Olalea Show.
On ESPN 97.5 and the ESPN Houston app.
Broadcasting live from the Huntington Bank Studios, here's Del Olalea.
When the world was a time of this and that, I was young, didn't know to hold it back. Now we're here in the world, something else. We can leave any day and call for help. We were gods, nobody was above me. The A on my chest like a Dolce. The A on my chest, put your fist up. The A on my chest like a chipmunk. Alvin, Theodore, breathe in, breathe out. Me and more, breathe in, breathe out. Never mind, it was time. Number nine, let my lies be line. With a death wish, be right, didn't have no name on the guest list. Hold on, we're destined.
Welcome into the show. AJ's here with me. As Colton was here yesterday, AJ's here today. He'll be here in that spot for the rest of the week as Sean has the day off. And while AJ is here for the rest of the week, maybe Lance McCullers is out of Houston by the end of the week, because that's the news that is breaking as the John and Lance show ends and this show begins. Lance McCullers on the move. The deal has not been finalized. This is a very baseball thing. Generally, when news of a trade happens in the NBA, whether it be Shams or someone else, sure, it's not official, but we know the move is happening. The expectation is that Lance McCullers will be a Brewer, but the trade isn't complete yet. They're still doing whatever they need to do, dotting I's, crossing T's. So we don't know anything other than he's likely out the door. I don't know that there's any players coming back, because baseball is a little different when it comes to trade rumors. You can try to guess what prospects or actual major leaguers are coming back when you're involved in a trade. But for the most part, you don't really know until the deal is done. Basketball is different. Everyone can put a trade package together. I don't know that Major League Baseball has a special page dedicated to what's it called? Now I'm blanking on the name. It's for the NBA. It's a trade tracker page. It's not a tracker, but you can look at the cap and put the trades together. I don't know. I can't remember the name of the page. Everyone uses it to find how trades and the money will work. Baseball doesn't really have that, so there's less speculation on who's going where. You just look at the list of top prospects and see if your team will give one up. But I don't expect much in return for Lance McCullers. If anything, it may just simply be cash considerations. But his career with the Astros ends in an unfortunate way. He hasn't been a contributor to this team for a while. I still remember back to a couple spring trainings ago where he was making a comeback and he was very emotional talking to the broadcast crew about all the things that he had to get through to try to make his way back. And he did, to minimal success. And that has been kind of the story from Lance McCullers over the last several years or so. So his time in Houston comes to an end, and the Brewers have already visited Houston this year. So there will not be a chance for a goodbye from the fans, no tribute video. And considering his status as a player, unless it's Lance McCullers Day here, he may not ever get that video where he's in the building with another team and the Astros put something together, whether it be a potential work stoppage or simply he decides to call it quits at the end of a contract. We may have seen the last of Lance McCullers as an actual baseball player in the city, unless he tries to give it a go again next year. So that's the news of the day. Lance McCullers out. Looks like he's going to be a Brewer. And I did this with the guys off the air. Let's see if you guys can answer. You don't have to call in about it, but you can think, because we have a couple of numbers here in Houston that get confused because they happen not in the same year, but relatively close enough that there's a little bit of confusion. I'm going to ask you guys now listening. How many straight curveballs did Lance McCullers throw in a row in a game seven? How many of them? How many straight curveballs? Do you got your answer? It wasn't 27, if you think it's 27. That's the number of three-pointers that the Rockets missed. Lance and John both thought 27 because that's the number. We hear and think about those moments and think it's 27. For McCullers, it was 24. 24 straight curveballs. You baseball nerds would likely remember, or just big Astro fans. But for a lot of us, the number that sticks out, I guess because it was failure, not success, was the 27 straight misses. But Lance, in a moment of triumph, threw the 24 straight curveballs to help the Astros win that game seven. And now he says goodbye. Art wasn't very complimentary. He said, praise be. That sorry-ass mofo is out of here. That's not cool. Come on. I can't hate on Lance McCullers because he tried. He just couldn't stay healthy. And sure, it was disappointing considering the promise that he showed when he was a younger pitcher. But this isn't a case of a guy who didn't care. This isn't a case of a guy who just decided, I'm going to collect my check. He tried. It just wasn't to be. And the Astros have decided in the final months of his deal with them that they're going to make a move. So Lance McCullers is gone. We'll see if there's anything of any value coming back the Astros' way. But of all the ways this could have ended, a trade during the All-Star break to the Brewers, that's tough. That is tough. And depending on what the circumstances of this deal are, do the Brewers simply just DFA him? Who knows? But Bob Nightingale positions it as the Brewers are taking a flyer on Lance. Lance has only pitched about 39 innings this season. So we know here that it hasn't been a lot of production from him over the last several years. We'll see if the Brewers look at this as a guy with past success and see if there's anything left as Lance is still working his way back. So now finalized according to John Heyman. So the deal is done. Lance McCullers is now a Brewer. Some good moments. We'll remember the best ones. And hopefully if there is more baseball in Lance McCullers' future, it works out for him. Haven't heard a word about him not being a good guy. So hopefully it works out for one of the guys who loved this city and gave what he could to the Astros. Eric, you want to talk Astros? We'll get to that when we come back. Anyone else want to join us? 713-780-3776 is the number. As I said, AJ's here. We got World Cup to discuss. We got the second semifinal today. The first one did not go the way I thought as Spain dominated that. We've got Kevin Durant popping up. He showed up to Philadelphia for the All-Star game. He also has some thoughts on what would make basketball better, namely removing two pundits. We'll talk about that, too. We will be back.
ESPN 97.5.
You're listening to the Del Olalea Show
on ESPN 97.5 and the ESPN Houston app.
Live from the Huntington Bank Studios, here's Del Olalea.
Let's get to Eric here. He wants to talk some Astros. The news for the Astros is as we had the All-Star game yesterday and they have a couple days off before they're back playing games is that Lance McCullers, who has been around since the first World Series, is gone. So the only one remaining now is Altuve, right? Since the first World Series, since this whole thing started, Altuve is the last vestiges of the start of this dominance in Astros baseball. Well, you know, at least from 15 to 23. I mean, 24, you make the playoffs, it doesn't go well. And then we know the last couple years are the last couple years. So I believe Altuve is the last one left. I don't imagine he's getting traded to the Brewers or anywhere else for cash considerations at any point. I think he'll just retire as an Astro. But let's get to Eric here. He wants to talk about the club. What's up, Eric?
Yeah, and forget Correa. He was saying 2017. I know he's not playing, but how's Correa taking this? And what about Lance's coffee business here? Most important, breaking news, the Batman Part 2 is delayed till February 2028. What are your thoughts on that? I'll hang up to listen.
Yeah, Correa, I guess I forget about him because he left and then he came back. So he is from – he has been – I can't say from the beginning because he was gone, but he was here at the beginning, left, came back. So, yeah, he remains. So Altuve does certainly have a face from the start of this all. I don't know what will happen to Maven Coffee. Is it established enough that it doesn't need Lance McCullers here for it to thrive if it is thriving currently? It's not like he works there every day. I don't think he's serving coffee, despite the jokes about what he might have been doing when he wasn't pitching for the Astros. If it's a well-run, thriving business, it'll be fine without the idea, or at least one of the idea men behind it, no longer in the city. Maybe he'll start a Maven. Yeah, he won't be in Milwaukee long enough. Forget about that. We will see where he goes from there. I wonder, is it one of these? Now, Nightingale said it's a flyer. I immediately thought of, around the NBA deadline, where a guy gets traded and he's immediately waived. It's just an accounting thing that they need to take care of. But Nightingale says they're taking a flyer, so we'll see if Lance McCullers makes any appearances in a Brewers uniform this year. That'll be odd. And I saw people say he'll immediately become a frontline starter now that he's out of the city. That is a dark thought, that the Astros were simply the reason why Lance McCullers couldn't find his way. I don't think the bad luck for the Astros extends to Lance McCullers becoming a star now that he's no longer here. The Brewers are in first place. They haven't played well lately, but they have a 5-game lead on the Cubs, so it's not a desperate move for them, clearly. But we will see. He is joining a good baseball team, so if he can find his way, Lance McCullers will be in line at least to be someone who is considered for a playoff roster. And the Astros are still fighting and clawing to try to find their way into the AL playoffs. And the AL did win the MLB All-Star game in a shutout. 4-0 was the final there. For people who did not watch, you didn't miss much. So the AL wins that one. Dylan Cease is the winner. Do you want to call him that by All-Star rules? He was the pitcher of record in that game yesterday, which Kevin Durant at least saw the beginning of. I don't know if he was there the entire time, but he was there in Philly. As I said, we'll talk about that in a little bit. As far as Eric's mention of the Batman, yes, delayed till February 2028. That's tough. Like the trailer, not even a trailer, it's a teaser of Batman looking stoic and was it rain, I believe?
I think it might have been snow.
It might have been snow, yeah. We saw that from the initial images that there was going to be snow in Gotham. And it's just Robert Pattinson as Batman. And that's about it. And then you see the date. You're like, oof.
What at the end doing? On purpose.
Yeah, they put it at the end. They gave you about 24 seconds or so, 25 seconds or so of Batman in profile. And then at the very end, 2018-28. We're talking nearly 2 years from now. That's rough. What was the original, or at least the last stated?
So it was October 1st, 2027, but it's been delayed 4 times now.
Yeah. Matt Reeves, you did good work the first time. Cool, but are we talking now how many years since the Batman came out?
March 2022.
So we're talking a 6-year separation between the first one and the second one, and that happens. Christopher Nolan, I think he was a little quicker with putting out the Dark Knight trilogy, yeah. But it spanned over, of course, a long while to get those three movies out. But 6 years after the first, I imagine I still will want to see Pattinson as Batman. But there's something to say about momentum. And the movie's good enough to stand a test of time. But let's get this stuff out. Facts. What are we doing 6 years later? What are we talking about here? So there it is. That was the announcement that more weight. I guess if it goes well, it goes well. So The Dark Knight came out in 08. The next one was 2012. Those are the final two movies in the trilogy. The trilogy as a whole started in 05. So it took 7 years to make three movies. So if there is a Matt Reeves Batman trilogy, if we just go by the first, the difference between the first two, are we talking 18 years to get three movies out?
Maybe like 2034.
Yeah, what are we talking about here? And then it's longer. Then we're talking more than from 2022. I would hope we get three movies if he wants to make three by 2034. I would hope so.
Hopefully before that.
Yeah, I'm gonna need less than a 12-year span. Let's not, like, if Nolan can get him out in seven, and the trilogy is considered. Like, there are varying degrees of how much you like all three of them, but it's considered a masterpiece, certainly a superhero masterpiece. If no one can do it, come on, Matt Reeves. You can get three movies out before we reach a decade plus of waiting on Batman. So we'll see. Well, at least it's going to be 6 years. So there it is. That's the news. So you get a little taste. And then you get disappointed at the very end. He tried to follow the sugar with some medicine.
Facts.
That's what my mom. I don't know. I don't remember the process when I was a kid. What was it? Robitussin. I think it was Robitussin first, and then something to take the taste away. Matt Reeves, you were better off giving us the date, and then giving us some footage. That's how it should have played out.
Be encouraged.
There's a reason it's going to be a 6 year wait because of this. Instead, you give us, you confirming that Pattinson's Batman again? Thank you. And then you tell me that the movie's going to take 6 years. What are we doing? But hey, good luck to you. I don't want to come down on a creator because he did a good job the first time. You just better not screw it up the second time. That's all. Or the momentum for that movie is going to go away. Meanwhile,
just don't be CJ Stroud.
See, that's unnecessary. Look, I have my thoughts on, hell, the video for yesterday for the station was me talking about CJ Stroud. I have my thoughts on what will or could be for the Texans and their quarterback, but that's just unadulterated hate. That's all.
Because
you caught it earlier, right as the previous show was ending, so you had some words. Noted Cowboy fan, AJ Ross. Russ. I said it's Russ. AJ Ross is like a woman who works at CBS, I think.
Yeah.
AJ Russ is in the building with me, not AJ Ross. Keith, you want to talk college football? We'll get to that when we come back because we got a couple things going on. AJ Russ's own Tom Herman is now on the staff of Florida State. And speaking to the ACC, they will have a convoluted way of deciding their champion after the it was laid out, but it was all these tiebreakers led to Duke and Virginia playing while the ACC's best team made it in on a tiebreaker and eventually went to the national title game. Because they have uneven teams and they don't have divisions, they now will use math to determine how good your season is as long as they can't decide the two championship participants by head to head. They will go to something called, I'll tell you what it's called, but it's based off of who had the best season. And a computer will tell you who had the best season. It's somewhat like the BCS, but probably won't have as much clarity. I don't know if it'll be updated week to week. Like, based off this result, this team is now the favorite to make the ACC title game. But while it will be determined on the field, a computer will put everything together and then tell you, it's called body of work. There it is. If you have a better body of work than another team because perhaps you didn't play them, then you make the ACC title game. Look, if we go by what FIFA would do, it doesn't really matter what the season looks like. If it's anywhere close, Miami makes the title game, considering they're supposed to be a national title contender. So we'll talk about that. It is ACC Media Day today, so that's why this news broke. And we'll get to Keith when we come back.
Houston's independent voice for sports talk. Come.
Del Alalea Show
on ESPN 97.5 and the ESPN Houston app.
Live from the Huntington Bank Studios, here's Del Alalea.
So we had the call from Eric asking about Maven. There was a change in ownership earlier this year, and Gary tweeted me that the locations have closed. So I think there's been a name change or at least an ownership change. So I don't think that Lance McCullers has anything to do with some of the locations anymore. And that's that, from what I can tell, reading an article from Culture Map about Maven. Maven Coffee Company still sells products, but as far as brick-and-mortar places for people to go, either it has the same name, but it's not under the control of the people it originally was under control of, or in some cases, the location has been closed. So there that is. All right, let's go to Keith, who wants to talk some college football. What's up, Keith?
Hey, Dale. Obviously, big news before I hit the college football point. You know, McCullers and Gordon to Milwaukee, I think that's a great trade for them just because Brandon Woodruff is probably done for the year, their first-place team. They desperately need pitching. So good for the Brewers to get those two guys. As for college football, I know you're a Miami guy. Miami has had, you know, Cam Ward and Carson Beck back-to-back, national title runner-up. What do you think of, you know, Darian Mensah, the transfer from Duke? Do you think he's going to have a good season? Do you think, you know, there's enough talent around him to keep Miami in the mix of things? And also, Maximum Pleasure Guaranteed is getting really good.
That is the Tatiana Maslany show on Apple. I'm watching it. I fell behind purposefully. Wanted to get a couple episodes out of the way, but let those sit there, and I got back to it in the last couple of days. I like that show. It looks like the conclusion's going to be pretty good. As far as Darian Mensah is concerned, I think it was aptly put on the Dan Lebatard show. I was listening to them talk about this. He is a combo of Cam Ward and Carson Beck. He will get the ball out of his hands quickly, which was more of Carson Beck's approach to the game, considering the injury and as his arm strength waned as the year went on. But he also he doesn't have the arm talent of Cam Ward, but he has some of the playmaking ability of Cam Ward, where he'll try to make a big time throw. He'll hold the ball a little bit, but not crazy. He played at Tulane. He played at Duke last year. I think Miami hit on another quarterback. If you just go by what he's been, he's an accomplished, really good quarterback. Miami has had some luck, and I thought about this, and it was also reiterated. Well, not reiterated. They didn't hear me say it or think it, but it was said on that show as well that they've had really good luck at quarterback, injury-wise. A Miami quarterback over the last couple of years has not missed a game. That has been in part because of an offensive line that they have built, and that offensive line saw a tackle go in the top 15, another tackle go either in the second or the third round. They lost another guard and a center. So while Mario Cristobal is known as the offensive line guy, he'll always have good to great offensive lines. This one will have some questions. They're going to start a five-star freshman in Hunter Cantwell, some other guys who have been around but haven't had established starring roles at the positions they're going to be playing. So there's some questions there. And does the luck with quarterback run out? You've gone 13 games in Cam Ward's year, 12 and a half. You know, he sat out the back half of the Iowa State game and got some criticism after he broke a couple records. And then Carson Beck played an entire season, including a playoff run, and didn't miss. I don't think he even missed a snap that wasn't, hey, we're blowing this team out, come in backup quarterback. Like, competitive snaps, I don't think he missed the snap. Same for Cam Ward. Unless his helmet got knocked off and he had to miss a play. So that's the luck they've had. Does that run out? Because if it does, they don't really have an accomplished backup, don't have a transfer that played someplace else. It's going to be one of a couple guys who don't have a lot of experience. So that's the way a Miami season goes poorly. And by poorly, I mean at least not making a playoff, because that's the goal. And when you make it to the title game the year before, you want to at least have a chance to do that again. But talent-wise, if you don't know because you just weren't locked in, they have Malachi Toney, one of the cover players for the new college football game. He was a star last year as a freshman, along with Darian Mensah. They took another Duke player, a 1,000-yard wide receiver in Cooper Barkay. They got those two guys as the portal was closing. So they're going to be good. Their defense lost Bain and Mesidor. They got Damon Wilson from Missouri, who played at Georgia but now is at Miami. They're going to be one of those teams that going forward, unless the Chris Ball effect happens where he blows several games and he was able to figure some stuff out late in the year, they're going to be one of those teams that is always on the mix because they're going to spend money. He will recruit. He will build an offensive line. The question is, does their injury luck run out at quarterback? Does their transfer portal luck run out at quarterback? And do they finally find a guy homegrown that they can have for multiple years as opposed to the one-year mercenary thing they have been doing to great effect the last couple years? As far as the conference they play in, it's such a weird thing because of expansion. Not every team will play the same amount of conference games. Some will play 9, some will play 8. And that has led to this, hey, we're going to compile your record and the numbers, and your body of work will determine if you make the title game if you don't hold the head-to-head because you guys didn't play each other. I would think for entertainment purposes, that should be a thing they keep that's readily available, that they allow for people to see, as opposed to, hey, at the end of the year, guess what? We have two teams tied in every way possible. Let's go to body of work and tell everyone who should make the title game. If the ACC knows better, they should make that like the BCS rankings. You know, 8 weeks into the season, you start seeing the body of work of each team, and it may not even come into effect because you might have two teams who are clearly the ones who should be in the title game because of head-to-head matches. But if not, there should be, I don't know if it needs to be a dedicated Monday show on ACC Network, but they should do it. Because if you're using that convoluted, weird analytical approach to figure out who should make the title game, at least tell people, have some transparency about who ranks where and what a future game might do to affect those rankings. So the ACC is doing something weird because divisions can no longer be a thing. It was very simple in a certain era of college football. You had divisions in your conferences, and while those divisions could hold tiebreakers, it was pretty easy to determine who was going to play in the title game. And because of the playoff and its expansion and the conferences expanding, things have gotten more convoluted. But now with I think they reverted back to the CFP guaranteeing Power Four teams a playoff spot. Not a seed. You're not a top four seed if you win the playoff, but you are if you win your conference, but you are guaranteed a spot. That was a problem for the ACC. Duke won their conference and didn't make the playoff. Now that will no longer be a thing. You win your conference as a Power Four member, you're in. You could be playing an opening round game at home or on the road, but at least you know you'll have a spot, but no guarantees of a bye. So the Cougs, who were a good program last year, won, 10 games last year? Wound up winning 10?
Yeah.
When you include the bowl game? They have every shot to make a playoff if they win their conference. And if they're not ranked as a number four seed, they could be hosting a game right on campus, which would be pretty nice. Think about it. People still think the Big 12 is going through tech, even though the Sorsby thing didn't work out for them. But the Cougs get to prove themselves early in the year. That's a Friday night in Lubbock. I mean, other than playing high school football there, I'm not sure many people look to spend Friday nights in Lubbock if they don't have to, but the Cougs will. And they got a shot. Go in there and win a game and establish yourself as a real Big 12 contender, and with that, a playoff contender. So that's an interesting early matchup. And it is July 15th, which means we're on the verge of fall camp. We're not that far away. Kind of, the summer's kind of flown by for me because of the World Cup. And we'll talk about the World Cup when we come back, because France is through. We don't have a, excuse me, Spain is through. We don't have a, France is done. Spain is through. I guess I'll put it that way. We don't have a Spain fan in there like we did yesterday. But he must have had a good afternoon, Colton, because they took apart France in a way I didn't think they could. We'll get to that. We'll talk a little bit about Argentina and England when we come back.
ESPN 97.5.
You're listening to the Del Olalea Show
on ESPN 97.5 and the ESPN Houston app.
Live from the Huntington Bank Studios, here's Del Olalea.
So Pena called in. We'll get to him here. He wants to talk about some college football and the World Cup. But I mentioned the Cougs in the previous segment. I want to shout out Emmanuel Sharp. Yeah, Darius Acuff is on that Kings team, who on that Summer League team. And Acuff is struggling mightily with a couple of things. He's not shooting the ball particularly well, and there are some defensive lapses, which we knew about. He is the lottery pick, but Emmanuel Sharp has impressed some people. He didn't shoot particularly well in their California Classic game. That's improved. While they've been in Vegas, he's shown that defensive mindset that people know is part of you when you come from a Kelvin Sampson program, and he's also shot the ball pretty well in Vegas. So he's a guy who was drafted in the second round. Was he a second round pick and it was guaranteed, fully guaranteed his deal? Or was he, I don't remember, was he a guy who they picked up after the draft? I think he was a second round pick.
I'm not sure if it's fully guaranteed.
But I think some of it was. I don't remember if it was fully guaranteed, but he has been someone that's been pretty good for the Kings in his start to his pro career. So that's not surprising that he was going to have some qualities that would make him a pretty attractive option as, you know, at this point as a second round pick, a back end of a bench to start type, and who knows what he can become as he still continues to grow and his development happens as a pro. So just want to acknowledge that a guy we've watched play a lot of basketball here in the city is getting off to a pretty good start with his pro career at Vegas Summer League. The Rockets blew out the Sixers last night. Bruce Thornton, or at least yesterday afternoon, Bruce Thornton shot the ball pretty well in his third Summer League game for the Rockets, I think, in Vegas. So you'll monitor that. The guys had a discussion this morning about where he would be in the rotation because the questions about Fred's health, and then you got Marcus Martin, Reed Shepard. We'll see is not very interesting to say when it comes to this, but is Fred going to be healthy? If Fred's going to be healthy, then he's playing 36 minutes a night, and then there's not much room for a Bruce Thornton to play. If there are some questions about Fred's durability early on, which you can assume would be the case, then maybe there's a spot for Bruce Thornton as, like, Marcus Smart as an NBA player is not really a point guard. He's been positioned and put in that role because he's been on teams that didn't have a real one. Like, the Lakers have a lead guard in Luka, but we saw Marcus Smart as their pseudo point guard because LeBron will take care of some ball handling duties as well in that playoff series against the Rockets. So he can do that, but he's not a real point guard, and Reed falls into that category too. So there may be a spot for some spot minutes for Bruce Thornton if Fred has to manage his minutes as he recovers. All right, let's get to Pena here. He wants to talk some college football and also get into the World Cup. What's up, Pena?
Yo, what up, Dale? Hey, I wanted to get on college football real quick. So what do you think has to happen for Texas to have a a pretty good season and secure a spot into the college football playoff and ultimately win the national championship? And how do you like Pickford for 1.5 saves and Saka on 3.5 crosses today? Thank you. Have a great day.
For people who don't know, Pena's a bit of a degenerate when it comes to props. It manifested itself on this show during the college football season. And now I guess as it approaches, he's going to use the World Cup to get himself warmed up. I don't know. Over on Pickford saves, I guess. Over. I think the Argentines will manufacture enough shots on goal, whether they go in or not, that Pickford will have opportunities to make a couple saves. Go over. As far as Saka crosses, is he even starting? Is that news out yet? You may want to wait on that. I don't know that the team news for England is out. So before I give you an answer, I'd like to know if he's going to play 70 minutes or 30 minutes in a match. So take that into account, Pena, before you put any money down on Saka. As far as Texas, that's a lot you asked me about what's it going to take to win a national title. I mean, the school has won one national title in my entire life. So what's it going to take? Health, which is the obvious. They need to stay healthy. And Arch has to be a good player. I don't know that he needs to be a great player.
Texas is good. Everything is big.
That is from our Japanese soccer fan when asked about the state of Texas. Yes, that was the takeaway from some international travelers. They love the state of Texas. As far as the team itself, they're not as loved across all demographics of Texas sports fans. But for the Austin / Texas fandom, can you find a way with, they brought in Smothers and Relique Brown. Was it Relique? I always go from Ramique to Relique Brown. To run the ball. Can you run the ball with an offensive line that didn't live up to the expectations, considering all the money and resources they put into that offensive line over the last 3 or 4 years? Can you run the ball with your two new running backs? And can Arch find some explosive plays against better competition with that wide receiver core? Your offensive line needs to hold up, and you need to be the offense that the investment says you should be. And then once that happens, you're talking now about a potential 13-game regular season if you include an SEC title game, and then at minimum 3 more games. Texas isn't so much better than everyone that they have this margin for error. So you're going to need a little luck. And that's where the injuries come through. And scheduling matters too. Like, when these games happen, how the other team is banged up, do you get a bye in the playoff? Or do you have to do what Miami did? Maybe not go on the road, but have to go play 4 games to go win a title. That's a lot to have to go through to go win one. The first 2 years of the college football playoff, we've had teams who had to play week 1, make the title game in that playoff. Ohio State did it the first year. Miami got to the title game and lost by 6 in the second one. So it can be done. I think Notre Dame as well. Notre Dame in that Ohio State title year had to play a home game because Notre Dame's not allowed a bye due to the rules, at least. I don't know if they even know what the rules are now, but at least the first 2 years, they weren't allowed, if they made it, to play a home game or at least get a bye. So is the jump from Arch coming? And can your offensive line be something that not only protects him, but opens holes for your two new backs? And then once that happens, then we can talk about a real national title contender. Now, I know they have, is it Ohio State early? Is that the one that they have to go to Austin?
Yeah.
So that'll give us a clue about what Texas is. And everyone tells me about how tough the SEC is. So which team that you shouldn't lose to are you going to lose to this year? Because as much as Ohio State is looked at and was pointed to last year as, hey, you shouldn't punish us for losing to Ohio State. We dared to schedule a game. We should be rewarded for that. First, No one should be rewarded for losing. And secondly, you weren't punished for losing to Ohio State. Don't go into a place where everyone knows the coach is going to get fired, and he eventually was, and lose to the Gators. Don't struggle with mistake. Style points matter. Kentucky. So for all the talk of how Ohio State is a tough place to play and that loss shouldn't be counted against us, how about your performances even in your wins? There was a lot on the bone for Texas last year. Let's see if they can take some more meat off the bone and live up to their potential. We'll see. All right. That's hour one done. Hour two will begin when we come back. We'll get into more of what happened yesterday in Dallas. And then we'll talk about today as it's England and Argentina in Atlanta. So we'll get two climate control semifinals and then take your ass to New York where it could be like 100 degrees for a final. All right. We'll go to break. We'll be back.
ESPN 97.5.
Hello, it is Ryan, and I was on a flight the other day playing one of my favorite social spin slot games on ChumbaCasino.com. I looked over at the person sitting next to me, and you know what they were doing? They were also playing Chumba Casino. Everybody's loving having fun with it. Chumba Casino is home to hundreds of casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere. So sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com to claim your free welcome bonus. That's ChumbaCasino.com and live the Chumba life.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
We have the tech to get food delivered in 15 minutes, but we all have horror stories about buying tickets. The Game Time app gives fans the advantage. Get amazing tickets in just a few taps. Fees are included, so what you see is what you pay. And the Game Time guarantee means authentic tickets at the best price every time. Take the guesswork out of buying tickets to concerts, sports, comedy, and more with Game Time. Download the Game Time app and create an account for $20 off your first purchase. Terms apply.